And happy Mother's Day. We were last night, Aria says, "Dad, I want to give Mom Mother's Day present, or at least just part of it, you know." And we talked her out of it, and she did it this morning. The kids were up early this morning with gifts for their mother, and I, too. I made sure that I bought a gift early, you know, more than 12 hours in advance. I was shopping yesterday in plenty of time, you know. So, but it's good that we esteem our mothers, we esteem our wives. As I tell my sons that, you know, one of the best ways to honor your father is to honor your mother. And that seems to work pretty well for us for the most part. But, you know, we have essentially have a house full of teenagers now, so there's a lot of, you know, a lot of that stuff going on. So, we're continuing our series in Romans chapter 12, and love, the lifeblood of Christian service is what I have entitled this, and hopefully you'll see it. But first, I'd like to give a short review on the book of Romans. You may remember a couple years ago, I took an English class, and I was introduced to something called Wordle. You get these great word pictures. What you do is you just go to the website, you punch in a bunch of words, and then they have an algorithm where they can create this kind of thing. You know, you got a lot of options and that. And it works out really well for what I like to do in reviews, especially with the book of Romans. Now, Romans, you know, imagine yourself as a young Christian. Or imagine, if you would, a young Christian and just received Jesus as Savior and Lord, and you wonder, what's next? You know, I've been told about sin, and I've repented, I've turned around, I've accepted Jesus as my Lord. But what can you tell me about that process? What can you tell me about sin and salvation, and help me with that, you know? Well, imagine going to your email one day, or if you're a little older, opening up the mail and receiving a letter from a friend named Paul. And you open it up, and it's Paul, an apostle of God, grace and peace to you. Insert your name. Because that's really what God is doing, isn't it, with the Bible. The Bible is a letter written to all of us. And it's there we learn the truth of God. And in the book of Romans, as you can see, so many important subjects are covered. Sin. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3 goes in and describes just how deep sin resides in us and how it affects the words that we speak and so on. And chapter 1 even goes into human depravity, human sin, just how bad it can get. Chapters 4, the end of chapter 3, chapters 4 and 5, you look toward, you see baptism, just go to the left there. Justification, to be declared righteous before God, to have the righteousness of God imputed to us. The whole substitutionary atonement of Jesus dying in our place and we receiving righteousness, being cleansed by the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then, well, what's next after that? Well, sanctification. What's sanctification? It means God cleaning us up, as George Pridemore likes to say, and it's very true. You know, we have died with Christ. You know, every once a quarter or so, we'll have a baptism here. You know, you stand in the water. You go down in the water. You come back up. What does it symbolize? Well, it symbolizes that you're in Christ and that you died in Christ and you've risen in Christ to newness of life. The old Leo is dead. The power that controlled Leo, broken. I now have a new master. I now have a new king. Not me, not the world, not the devil, but King Jesus, whom we've been singing about in our worship time this morning. And I have a new purpose in life, and that's to live for His glory. In Romans chapter 8, it talks about the fact that what God was doing, and He foreknew it before the foundation of the world, was that everyone who accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord would be predestined to become like Him. That's the process of sanctification, which leads to something called glorification, where one day this body will be put off. Recently, we've had a number of funerals, and another one will soon be coming, as we remember Brother Lauren Brunsink. But we're reminded to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And on the day of resurrection, He will raise up our bodies, and our body and soul, spirit, will be reunited and will be like our Lord Jesus. That's that process of glorification. But then in the book of Romans, you might wonder, well, if all this is true, what about Israel? Didn't God, aren't they the chosen people? What about that? Chapters 9, 10, and 11, Paul goes into that, and he gives an explanation of what happened with Israel. He gives an explanation of just who Israel really is. True Israel are those who believe. He goes into the fact that God has set them aside for right now so that He could bring in another people, the Gentiles, you and I. So God has a marvelous plan that He's working. And Paul, as he sums up this first section, he said, and our brother Andy Lowe spoke about this, but I really want to read it, because Paul just sort of exalts in the great work that God has done. He says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and unfathomable His ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who became His counselor, or who was first given to Him that He might be paid back to Him again? For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen." And we should sort of feel that way as we finish the first half of the book of Romans. There's this great doctrine. And with the Apostle Paul, doctrine is never an end in itself. It's not head knowledge. It's not an academic pursuit. It makes a difference in your lives. And that's where we've come to in this series that the Speakers Committee and the elders have given to us in Romans chapter 12. Because now what it is that I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. He says, look, all these great things, justification, sanctification, glorification, God grafting you in. Because originally we were not part of the plan of God, but like a master gardener, we were grafted in to this great olive tree that Paul speaks of. Now, all this, what? Well, you're a living sacrifice. Make yourself a living sacrifice. You've accepted Jesus as your Savior and Lord. Now live for Him. You know what? It's only reasonable. He has cleaned you up in sanctification. He's made you new. Live for Him now. Where once you were in bondage to sin and were constantly getting in trouble, perhaps not knowing the laws of God, reaping what you've sown, and so many, by not knowing the commands of God, fall into sin and fall into a lot of trouble in life. But now that you've been made alive, now that you know Christ as your Savior and as your Lord, now you have, as it were, the instruction book. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Learn Scripture. Cleanse your mind. Build your mind. It's sort of like starting in kindergarten and going up through high school and college and living life. We learn how to live for God. We learn about the abundant life that John talks about, the Lord Jesus talked about in John chapter 10 and verse 10. We can relate. The devil came to kill and to steal, but I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And not only this, you have been birthed into a family. At Dunning Park, you'll hear us say many times that we are a family. We love one another. We look out for one another. We're a body. And Paul uses this analogy in Scripture with much power. And our brother Dave Erickson spoke about that the last couple weeks, of the hands and the feet. We do things for God. We speak for God. We look for God. We hear for God. We love people. The Lord Jesus actually is loving people through us. When you express love for someone, that's not only you expressing love, but that's God expressing love through you. Because like the old White Hart song years ago, we are His hands, we are His feet. Like Paul said, how blessed are the feet that share the good news. So we're a body. But you know, in being a body, there are internal systems as well, aren't there? See, I could, and we're going to get into this a little bit, but if I were to preach and speak and start doing this, this doesn't work very well. I tried to find a pair of cymbals, and this is the closest we could find. Thank you, Lance. If I spoke like this, you would be really distracted, wouldn't you? And you know where I'm going with this, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1. I might have, and I don't, the tongue of angels, but I speak, hopefully, truth. And if that truth is being contradicted by the life that I live, well, then you're not going to listen to the truth that I think I have, because it's a huge contradiction. Well, the internal system of the body is love. Whatever we do has to be done in love. Because, like I said, we're expressing the love of our Lord Jesus. We are His ambassadors on the earth. And as such, when we do something and we touch someone with the love of God, they're really touched. But if we touch them with selfish ambition, it's going to be, ooh, get back from me. I don't want to hear what you have to say. So love is really what is the lifeblood of the body of Christ. And if you have your Bibles, open to Romans chapter 12. I think I got it right there. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal. but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. And you know, the Apostle Paul here, after finishing this section on the body, he just shot out these commands, these statements to help us in our ministry as the body of Christ. When you serve in love, do these things. Be sincere. Hate what's evil. Cling to what's good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly kindness. Honor one another above yourselves. And that's so important in the church, isn't it? Because it's the example of our Lord Jesus, isn't it? And he, Philippians chapter 2 and verses 4 and 8, gave us the perfect example. Because if you want to serve Christ and the body, you need an example. Who has gone on before us? Well, we have our brothers and sisters here. Good examples, yes. But the ultimate example is our Lord Jesus. Think about it. Who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. He made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Matthew 23:11. The greatest among you will be your servant. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. So if you sort of struggle with this kind of thing of serving in the body and thinking maybe, man, you know, sort of hard to do. You know, you hear all these complaints about church people, you know, and you hear preachers say, well, you know, if you don't like church people, don't go in there. You'll just make it worse because you're just like them, right? But because we're all sinners, and we all come with problems. But our Lord Jesus, he's not like that, like Keith Green sung in that one song. He's perfect all the way. And he's our example. If he could do these things, he empowers us to do this. You know how? The Holy Spirit. Each of you and me have the Holy Spirit. As David talked about last week, we have spiritual gifts. We have talents that God has endowed us with, that we can serve him, and we can serve him powerfully, because it's not in our own strength. What he wants us to do is take steps of faith. Just walk, just obey. I will empower you. And you see that in the Gospels. You see that in the New Testament. So let's take this apart a little bit. As it says in the New American Standard, let love be without hypocrisy. That's the word agape. Those of you who've been around a while, you know that word. It's that word of sacrificial love. And it refers right back to God, doesn't it? Because God is love. We talked about this morning, Lance, I think, may have talked about as well. Brother Dave LeBen talked this morning of God demonstrating his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for those who hated him. He made that sacrifice. That's the same type of love that we're called to as well. Sacrificial love. The sacrifice of ourselves. Because we're put here as ambassadors. We're put here to represent Christ. And this world isn't always going to accept what we have to say. You've heard of martyrs before? Martyrs are witnesses. But martyrs, as we really understand it, are people who give up their lives for the Lord Jesus. And one day God may call one of us to do that as well. And when you do that, you'll be really exhibiting that agape love. And it must be sincere. Let me go back. It must be sincere. It must be transparent, as it were. Nothing troubles people more than people who are not, troubles us more than people who are not sincere. People who have selfish motives. People who are have a goal and you look like a really good step on the ladder to go up there. We've all experienced that, perhaps. And maybe we've been that person as well. But in the body of Christ, and if you want true joy in this life, you won't be like that. You'll have a sincere, transparent love that when people see your action, they see the working of God through you. That you love them just like God loves you. And that's what that's talking about, a sincere love. I really care about you. And consistent with the Sermon on the Mount, we shouldn't expect to receive back. Oh, it's just human that we do. We all want to be recognized for what we do. We all want to be appreciated. But think of how great it will be if we can just enter into making our ultimate goal, well done, good and faithful servant, and receive reward from Christ for what you did for your family, for your friends, for your countrymen, for the body of Christ. You did it for me. Matthew chapter 25, the parable of the sheep and the goats. Go back and take a look at it. But what you did to me. Lord, when? When did we do it to you? And you can read that, and it's very powerful. Next is the word hate. It's the word hate. And that's the word abhor. It's a very strong word. Do you really hate? Have you ever really experienced hate, expressing hate for something? Well, express it for evil. Don't express it against or because you're jealous or because you're envious or, man, I'd really like to take that guy or gal down a couple pegs. You know, that's not what it's talking about. It's not that kind of thing. It's talking about evil. And maybe a good way to think about it is such. Imagine having an evil thought. Maybe it's a lustful thought. You're a married person. You hear these revenge relationships and that kind of thing. Well, imagine following through with it in a good mind, okay? Because when people fall into sin, usually they've been neglecting their spiritual walk, their walk with the Lord, and they just sort of like fall into it, you know, because it's a series of bad steps. But when the lustful thought comes, think, wow, I lose my spouse, lose my respect of my children, the respect of my community. We see it all the time when a Christian falls. It's like, oh, wow. You know, and that person's just, you know, sort of shunned in that. You don't want that. Hate what's evil. Hate, or maybe you're tempted with drunkenness or drugs in that. If we could only think, man, I'm so depressed. If I just had something to pick me up, it would be so much better. Well, if we just had the ability to think what that could become, the utter destruction that happens. I saw it in my own family as I was growing up. Learn to hate that. Learn to hate that evil. as Christians, if we could just learn to think about that when we're tempted, that would help us out a whole lot, I think. I know it helps me out. But it's important, and we're going to get to the, you know, that verse 11 there is so important. Never be lacking in zeal. Keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Because that's really where you need to be. You really need to be hot spiritually. You need to be burning for Christ to be able to think like this. And that's really one of the good one of the reasons that we fellowship together, isn't it? One of the reasons we come here on Sunday to worship, to be reminded from the Word of God, to be reminded by the songs, to be reminded by the testimonies that are given, to be challenged to examine ourselves and see where we're at. Next, cling to what is good. And that word there, it talks about being glued together. You know, if you find something that's important, like Christianity, like Jesus Christ, learn it. Make Him a part of your life. Stick to Him. How do you do that? The Word of God. Learn the Word of God. Next, fellowship with Christians. You know, one of the things I've always loved are Sunday night services, because to me, it's just a great bookend to the day. You know, another thing I love is fellowship with other Christians. This week, we were at the Indian Medical Mission and Assistance Conference, or banquet. That was really cool. Hear the great working of God. But just meeting with, you know, getting to know the Horns, I think their name was, that we sat with, John, and seeing old friends like Chris Schroeder ministering the Word of God, which was really, really cool. Then yesterday, going to Dearborn Christian Fellowship, and they had a fundraiser for their youth group, and getting to meet people in our neighborhood was really cool, and we encouraged one another. And that whole family atmosphere, because, yes, Dunning Park is our family, but all the Christians that are in the world are our family too. That's why some of you haven't always fellowshipped at Dunning Park. You fellowshipped in other places first. You came here. Wow. You know, like when I left Lakeside, I thought, man, am I going to find a place like Lakeside? Well, you know, I enjoy the same great fellowship I hear that I did at Lakeside, because we're the same family. One of the great things that Brian Miller, I think, has brought to our Sunday school class is reminding the kids that, you know what, you're brothers and sisters. That's how you should look at one another. We are family. So cling to what is good. Cling to that family relationship. Seek it out. Build it. Don't shun it. Because that will strengthen you. It will strengthen you in your walk with the Lord. And then this all flows together. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. That's the word Philadelphia. And there, it's the love that people have for a family. When you're in need, where do you go? You go to your family. You know, and we have that in my family, you have that in your family, and we have that here at Dunning Park too. We come alongside of one another. And I could step down right now and let you talk as to how you've experienced this Philadelphia love, this brotherly love at Dunning Park, how somebody came alongside and helped you, because the principle is in Galatians chapter 6, isn't it? To some degree, we bear our own burdens, but there's some burdens that are too heavy for us to bear, and that's where the church, that's where the family comes alongside. But what follows next is so important. Honor one another above yourselves. That is, like we read earlier, that's the example of the Lord Jesus. Because if you really want to be valuable in life, if you really want to be appreciated, be a servant. Be a servant to those and your family. Be a servant to your friends. Be there to help them in that. And you're going to see a difference. Because people go to people like that. You appreciate those people. You realize how much you need them. And that's here at Dunning Park as well. There are people who serve here that make all these events, everything that we do here, possible. Well, they're honored, they're making personal sacrifices so that these things can happen. And they're great things that happen, and great will be their reward before God. This next part, and as I said earlier, it's sort of the key, and really it's sort of the glue, too, that holds it all together. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all for the glory of the Lord Jesus, Paul says in Colossians chapter 3. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, as it says in Timothy. The Word of God is the food that empowers us. It's the food. It's our drink. And then the good works. Read Titus. Read Ephesians chapter 2. You're created in Christ Jesus for good works. We're not saved by good works. We're saved to do good works, because we're saved to glorify the Lord Jesus, to be conformed to His image, to be a people, to be His sons and daughters. And sons and daughters walk in the footsteps of their Father, our Lord Jesus. And when you eat and drink the Word of God, when you're fellowshipping with one another, when iron sharpens iron, and you go out to do the work of God, you're going to be strong. Be strong in the Lord, as it says. And that's how you do it. You start serving. Because like anything, you can eat the best diet in the world, but if you don't do anything, you're not going to get muscle. You're not going to get strength in that. So exercise your faith by putting all of this into action. Colossians chapter 3 as well. It talks about speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart. I shared this morning of a little bit of how important that Francis Ortega's take on O Sacred Head, Once Wounded was to me during the week during my worship time, and how it sort of carried through the week with me. Also, when I want to get back to my roots, you know, when Lance mentioned we're going to talk about Revelation chapter 2, and that may be a little difficult to do at this point, but there are times in our lives where we sort of cool off. That happens. We become lukewarm. I'm sure it's happened to everybody. It's just part of the normal Christian life, with all due respect to Watchman Nee. But, and what do? You go back to the basic principles. What the Lord Jesus said to the church at Ephesus was, remember what you did in the beginning. Well, what did I do in the beginning? Well, I was in the Word of God. I was listening to Christian music. For me, when I first came to Christ, Keith Green and Petra and Michael Card and these people really made a difference. Really helped me out. I was listening to, on iTunes, I downloaded a couple of Petra songs that were important to me. I have this great vision of one day back in the 83, 84, 85, whenever it came out, I was walking past somebody's house. It was a beautiful blue day, and I was singing the song King's Ransom from Petra. I remember that. Even now, it's, you know, it's cool. You know, but remembering those things, I can remember times that a guy by the name of Arnold Yonker's house, whom I've mentioned before, where he worked to disciple me and taught me how to love the Lord Jesus. Things like that. Remember the things that you did at first. And again, I could step down and you could give me testimony of what you did. Do those things and you'll see that spiritual fire will come back. Next, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. On this Mother's Day, you know, I'm reminded of the fact that our sister Marcella Munson went to be with the Lord. 98 years old, accepted Christ just in the last few years of her life. Nina Smith went to be with the Lord. Going back even farther, Eldora Marshall. So many, you know, mothers in the last few years have gone to be with the Lord, but we're joyful in hope because their pain has ended. Our loss is great, their gain is greater, and we know that we're going to be with them one day because they're with our Savior. Patient in affliction. Oh, that's a tough one. It really is. Whether it be a thorn in the flesh or some other type of suffering, learn patience. What did the Lord Jesus say to Paul? My grace is sufficient for thee. Because sometimes these afflictions work to teach us humility, character that we need to grow and to live the Christian life. Faithful in prayer. It's huge. Huge to be in prayer. And that's why Satan spends so much time trying to keep Christians away from prayer. Ever sit down to pray? Oh, I got to do this. Oh, I got to do that. Good things, but there's a better thing to pray. So we got to work on that. And just one prayer that was answered for us recently, battled with Josiah for years, to find Christians in your school. Find Christians. Dunning Park is great. You got a great youth group. But you know there's other Christians out there too that can encourage you. Well, he's got this other, he found a bunch of other friends. And he came home all happy yesterday. Yeah, we went out and did this. And, they've just been serving the Lord together. And the kids he goes to school with. That's awesome. But that's a prayer that was answered for me. Prayed it for many years. And the Lord opened up his heart. And we're grateful for that. And you have those testimonies too. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. This is something that we do here at Dunning Park. Hospitality. For camp. We had an offering in March to help families send their children to camp. And that's a sharing. Families are asked, you register your kids, the chapel will come alongside and help as they're able. Sharing. Practicing hospitality. Some of you here can give great testimony of how you were in need, needed a house for a while, and the Lord provided. Dunning Park has what we call a missions house over here that many missionaries have been able to take advantage of, just sort of who we are here, and it's really awesome. So, be sincere in your love. Hate what's evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another. Don't be lacking in zeal. Aim for the Lord Jesus. He's the example for service. Remember that you're a living sacrifice. Be transformed in the renewing of your mind to know the will of God. Remember, you're part of a body. If you don't function, then this body doesn't function well, as Dave reminded us. All of us are important. As blood gives life to the physical body, love gives life to the body of Christ. Love is the lifeblood of the church. It yields brotherly affection and abhorrence of evil. It does not lack in zeal. It keeps spiritual fervor. It serves the Lord. It's joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. It shares with God's people who are in need and hospitality. So this is what Paul is talking about here. Next week, I think Bruce is going to continue with the end of Romans chapter 12 and look forward to that. Pray for him during the week. That's a powerful passage of Scripture, something that's very needful in our lives, this whole idea of revenge and that, too much of it in the world today. So we look forward to what Bruce has to say. Our Father and God, we're just thankful now for your word. We're thankful for your Spirit who applies the word to our lives. We're thankful for the Holy Spirit who convicts us of our sin and shows us our need of the Savior, who shows us to repent, to just confess that we're unable to save ourselves and to turn and look to Jesus and to call upon him to be saved. For you so loved the world that you gave your only unique Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Help us to remember, Father, that we're living sacrifices to you, and we're to live for you, and we're to live joyfully and sincerely with fervor and great passion for you, our Father. We can't do this in and of ourselves. It's only as we cling to you. So we just thank you, Father, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Meeting's ended.